Mark chapter 10, beginning to read in the 46th verse. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now I want to go back to the 51st verse, and I want to make a point here. A simple point, but a terribly important one. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? The word wilt there literally in the Greek means to choose or to determine. Jesus said, what have you chosen that I should do for you? The man lost no time in making his request known. He said, my choice is to see. Presently I'm blind, but I have made a determination and a choice that I want to see. Immediately, he was made whole. He chose to see. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Now, may I say this while you're turning? Some of the things in our life, we have no choice in the matter. You didn't have any choice how you were born. If you were born a rock hill, that's your either your good fortune or your tough luck, however you perceive it. You didn't have any choice. With the family that you were born into, you see, you didn't have any choice. The name that you were given, you didn't have any choice. If you're a married woman, your name now is a matter of your own choice, isn't it? But you didn't have any choice as to the sex you would be. You didn't have any choice concerning the color you would be. You don't have any choice concerning whether you're going to die or not. But beyond that, there really are not a lot of other things over which you do not have control by choice. Most of us excuse our circumstances on the basis of we would hate to hear anybody accuse us of it, but, well, that's just the way it is. That's fatalism. Christianity is not a doctrine, does not contain a doctrine of fatalism. We are not creatures of chance, but rather we are creatures of choice. We have chosen, for the most part, the route that we have taken, and you can look back in your former days and in your former life and point to every blessed experience you're having now or cursed experience you're having now. If you trace it back, you can find it traced back to a place where you made a choice, either a positive or a negative choice. We are creatures of choice. God gave us a free will. That means that we are creatures of choice. When Adam was placed in the garden, God did not say to him, now this is exactly the way things are going to be. He said, this is what I want you to do. And I'm going to give you a choice as to whether you do it or not. Adam took the wrong choice, as you know, and it caused the whole human race to go down the tubes. Jesus came, the second Adam. God gave him a choice. The choice he took was God's way, and by his obedience, all men have an opportunity to be saved. We're creatures of choice. The whole human race are creatures of choice. Reading here in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses makes this very clear. Now, I'm going to look just at a few scriptures here so as not to make this too lengthy tonight, because the point is really rather simple. But what I want you to see is that God wants to bless us, but our blessings and our cursings are a result of our choices. Beginning to read in the 15th verse. Moses speaking for God to the people of God. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. I command you to do these things, but you're not under obligation to do so. You're not forced to. Even though it's a command, you have a choice to disobey it if you want to. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt, notice the word wilt, underline that if you will. It's an important principle. That thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away. You see, those who are drawn away have first decided that they don't want to do it God's way. See, they turn away first. They decide they won't hear. Then they are drawn away. Oh, the devil made me do it. Baloney. The devil didn't make you do it. You turned away, decided not to hear, and then he drew you further and further and further into his trap until you couldn't get loose. But it started with your own choice. You chose not to come to church. You chose not to forgive that person that you had ought against. Whatever your situation was, you chose to be angry at the pastor. You chose to take offense at something that somebody said. You chose to be hurt. Whatever the circumstance, you made a choice. And that choice, you see, one's on top of another, on top of another, on top of another, and the first thing you know, you're in a snare. And worship other gods and serve them, Moses said, verse 18, I denounce unto you this day, in other words, I certify to you, this is the promise of God, that you shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess. In other words, you're not going to have the blessing. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Now underline the word choose. Moses is telling the people, you have a choice. Just because God brought you out of Egypt and just because he delivered by his great salvation doesn't mean that the rest of your life is ordered without your free will being exercised. That God is not going to move against your will. You're going to have to choose. You can either live a blessed life in the fullness of Canaan's blessings, or you're going to live a life full of cursing. Now, I exhort you to choose life, but the choice is yours. Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, and that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of days, and so on, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give them. Now, let's go over to the very familiar scripture in Joshua, the 24th chapter, one verse. It's one of my favorites. Joshua 24. The 15th verse, Joshua is about to pack it in, so to speak. This is his last discourse. And so he says to the people in the 15th verse, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. If you don't like serving God, then make a choice who you will serve. You don't have to serve God. You don't have to love God. You don't have to believe in God, but make a choice. Go however you want. Whether the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, I've already made the choice. We will serve the Lord. Joshua said, you are creatures of choice. You can do whatever you want. If you want to go serve the devil, you can go do that. If you want to serve God, you can do that. You can choose to have cursing in your life, or you can choose to have blessing. It is as simple, listen to me, people, it's as simple as exercising your own will. We've got to understand this. We think sometimes God's holding out on us. He's not holding out on us. We're holding out on ourselves. He's given us blessing, free and abundant blessing. My Bible tells me in Ephesians 1 and 3 that he's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the realm of the spirit realm, in the heavenly places. We're told in Colossians chapter 2 that you're complete in Jesus. Now, to be complete in him means to have every good thing you need, doesn't it? Doesn't it mean that to you? Then why don't we have it? Why don't we have it? Well, God's holding out on us because he's teaching us something. Baloney! If it was proper to say something stronger, I would. That's hogwash. Don't you believe that? I think that subtly we have accepted that. We don't really believe it. I mean, if I asked you, do you believe that? You'd say no, but we act like it sometimes. And we're really walking in that kind of thing without knowing it. And someone comes up and says, well, that's what you're doing. And we get mad at him because he told us the truth. You know why Cain killed Abel? Anybody know why Cain killed Abel? No, it's simpler than that. Look at 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 3. We're going to find out why Cain killed Abel. I mean, we know the superficial reason. That's the one we would always say. We'd say, well, because Cain's offering was accepted by God and his wasn't. But let's see, what does the Word of God say? 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 12. Now this whole passage in here, if you read on down through the 13th, 14th, 15th verse, is about hating one another and hating the brethren and that sort of thing. And hating one another is likened to murder. The Bible says that if we hate someone, we have killed them. And we're in bad trouble because anybody that's killed somebody doesn't have eternal life in them. I mean, a murderer, now a reformed murderer, of course, can, but somebody who is a murderer doesn't have eternal life in it. I mean, Scripture says that. You just read the verses down. And so he uses Cain as an example. Verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Who was Cain's father? Satan. Spiritually, you see, Cain's father was the devil. Cain was from the devil. And slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay him? Because his own deeds were evil, his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Why do we hate each other most of the time? Because we're convicted by the righteous deeds of the one we hate. Now think about it. Think about it. Cain was so infuriated that rather than change his ways, he slew his brother. We do the same thing. Rather than make a choice to change our ways, we go out and backbite our brother. It's the same thing. Might as well take a knife and hit him in the back with it. Now, that's hard, isn't it? But it is true. We don't like it when somebody identifies in our life a problem. The reason we don't like it is because we have a Sauline spirit instead of a Davidic spirit. Read in the Psalms where David said, oh, God, examine me. Examine my reins. Lord, I want your chastening. We talked about this morning about the difference in the heart. A man after God's heart, a man like David, is crying out to God for his chastening. Lord, if there's anything in me, search me, O God, and know my heart. And if there's any wicked way in me, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. Now, that's the spirit of the man David. But see, a man with Saul's spirit would be just the opposite. He would be angry. The same way with Cain. So, if anybody asks you, why did Cain kill Abel, do you have the answer? So, if somebody calls you up on a radio program and offers you $100,000 for the answer, so you got it now, right? Praise the Lord. Say, thank God I went to church last Sunday night. Let's look at 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. We're creatures of choice. First Kings 18. Verse number 21. This also very familiar, well-known passage of Scripture. Elijah came unto all of the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people answered him not a word. Elijah said, why don't you just make a choice? Exercise your will, make a decision, make a determination. Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, what is it that you want? What wilt thou that I do for you? What is your choice? What's your determination? He could see the man was blind. Can't you identify a blind person if you're around them? So could Jesus. I mean, just in the natural, without the gift of the word of knowledge operating, he could discern that. He said, what wilt thou that I should do for you? What is your determination? What is it that you have chosen? Bartimaeus, I choose to see. I choose to see. I make a choice. Jesus said, thy faith makes you whole. Immediately was whole. Just that quick. Now, Let's go over for just a moment to Mark 10 once again. And I want to put a qualification on this. I want you to understand, I think this is something that we don't always hear. And we think we can use the Word of God, something like a magic wand or an Aladdin's lamp or some kind of a spiritual genie, in which we determine anything we want. We make a choice for it and we say, well, God's got to give it to me. That is not true. This matter of free choice only applies to the promises that God has already made. It does not apply to things like position, but only to promises. If you're going to make a choice to be made whole, you'd better know that God has already promised to make you whole. If you're going to choose to be prosperous, then you better know that prosperity is promised to you in the Word of God. If you're going to choose to get $1 million, then you better find you a $1 million scripture to anchor on. Are you listening to me? Let me give you an example of what I mean. It's right in the same area there in the 10th chapter, beginning in the 35th verse. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. He said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? Same question he asked the blind Bartimaeus, wasn't it? Bartimaeus, he said, what wilt thou that I should do unto you? To James and John, he said, what would ye that I should do for you? Same idea. What is your choice? What do you determine to have? What is it that you want? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Well, now, based on what we have heard preached in some circles, Jesus should have granted that. After all, doesn't Mark 11:24 say that what things soever ye desire? Anything you want, you can have. What things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you shall have them and ye shall have them. The kicker is that unless you have a promise in the Word of God, you cannot exercise believing faith, because there's no faith apart from the Word. And so, if you're going to desire something, you must desire that which is promised, not some wild hair that you dreamed up. And so here James and John dreamed up this wild thing, and they said, here we got the Son of God right here on the earth, and he's going to have his kingdom here in maybe just a few days. We better get our positions lined up here. James and John, they were brothers. Jesus called them rather sons of thunder. They were aggressive guys. They were obviously very close to him. The two of them and Peter were his inner circle, his inner three. They were his confidants. He spent very much time with them, and they were with him in very important occasions of his ministry. And if anybody would have a shot at it, surely James and John would. And so in this record, they go to Jesus. On another account, one of the other gospels, it's recorded that their mother went and made intercession for them. Jesus said, what do you choose I should do for you? They said, well, we want the best seats in the kingdom. We want one on the right hand, one on the left. In other words, we want to be numero dos and numero tres. We know you're numero uno, and that's okay. But we want the next two positions. We want the authority and the power, and we want to rub elbows, you see, with the King of Kings. Jesus said unto them in verse 38, you know not what you ask. You don't understand what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? In other words, are you going to be able to go through what I'm about to go through? Of course, they don't know what it is. They didn't understand him when he told them. But they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal, shall ye be baptized. Therefore, you would think if you read only that far, that they met the conditions. They were willing to pay any price. They did earnestly desire this. Jesus invited them to tell them what they were choosing. Surely Jesus would grant it. No, he did not. Verse 40, he says, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Now, they could choose until they're blue in the face, you see, and they're not getting number two and number three position because it was not promised to be available. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so, first of all, beloved, you must have the promise of God to anchor to. You can't be frivolous in this area. And I don't want you to see these kinds of promises and these kinds of principles as spiritual Aladdin's lamps, so to speak, in which you can, any kind of situation you find yourself in, you determine, well, I'll just go to God and I'll claim Mark 11:24 and bless God, I'll have it. I know a lot of disappointed and frustrated Christians who have done that. And the reason they've done, they'd be just like James and John, you see, because they're trying to get something. James chapter 4 called them adulterers and adulteresses. And he said, you receive not because you ask not. And the things you ask for the wrong motives, to consume them on yourself. And there's no promise to cover those things, and God won't grant them. You're spiritual whores, in other words. That's what he was trying to get across. Same principle here. These men didn't understand laying down their lives. All they understood was, we want the best positions. Now, with that word of caution here, to just kind of balance out what we're saying, beyond that, anything that God has promised to you, I'm convinced you may have, simply by choosing to obtain it. You may choose to have Jesus Christ as your Lord, and nobody can stop that from coming to pass. The devil himself cannot stop that from happening. He tried to keep Jesus in the grave, but the promise of the Father was that Jesus on the third day would rise from the grave. And Jesus chose to rise. He said, I'm going to go into the hands of the Gentiles. I'll be crucified and buried, but on the third day I'll rise. I make a choice. I'm going to do it. And what happened? He did rise. You see, the devil couldn't hold him down. The devil couldn't stop that from coming to pass. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 30, he established a principle here. He said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. What is the principle? The principle is, by not choosing the promise, you have already chosen the curse. Are you listening? If you choose not to be born again, then you have chose to be lost. If you've not chosen to be set free from whatever binds you, then you have chosen to remain bound. Nobody, I don't care who it is, Jesus Christ of Nazareth himself couldn't get you delivered. He went down to Nazareth. It's recorded for us in Mark's gospel, also in Matthew's gospel, 13th chapter. He went down there and he couldn't do any mighty works there because of their unbelief. They didn't choose. Saved a few sick folk, or healed a few minor ailments. Got a few headaches and maybe some runny noses taken care of, but everywhere else he did miracle after miracle. His own hometown, he couldn't. They chose to believe he wouldn't or couldn't. The principle is, if we're not with Jesus, you see, we have made a choice to be against him. If we are not actively gathering with him, gathering in the harvest, gathering in the fruit of the kingdom, then we are out there behind the ones who are gathering and we're scattering it. You moms who have little children that don't understand yet, big children that do understand ought to be dealt with severely if this were to happen. But if you have small children that don't understand, and you're putting the towels away in the drawer over here, and what is he doing in the drawer behind you? He's pulling them back out again, isn't he? You're packing up the toilet paper over here and you're putting the soap in over here. You're in the kitchen, you're putting the kidney beans up here. And here she is over in the corner pulling the crackers out. You see, if you're not gathering with, then you are busy scattering behind. Now, we don't think that 20, 30, 40, 50-year-old people would actually do that, but they do it all the time. It's one of the problems we have in our churches. You've got people there who are gathering and they're doing the work of the Lord, and then you've got others who think they're doing the work of the Lord, but because they've made the wrong choices, they are in the back just scattering everything. It's like a little dog. You're sweeping. You're getting everything all swept up into a corner, and here he is over here skiting it. Have you ever tried to garden with a dog that likes to dig? I mean, it's impossible. It's an impossible thing. You're going to have to pen the dog up or quit digging. The principle is the same in the spiritual realm. And oftentimes what we are doing, because our choices are incomplete and unspecified and unclear, we have a lot of fuzzy lines. And because of that, we are not obtaining the promises. I believe you can choose to be content. You can decide to be content. Now, I know some people who are really in some desperate circumstances who are very content. Much more content than those that are in relatively normal circumstances. I know people that are in normal circumstances, and based on what I know about their life, there's absolutely no reason for them to get how people get, you know, non-contented or malcontented. That's a bad word, malcontent. But you understand what I mean, the principle. That I'm talking about the opposite of contentment, which would be confusion, I guess, and so on. I know some people who look at their lives and there's absolutely no reason for them, on the surface, for them to be like that. I look at other people and I say, my God, how does he keep it together? Do you know how? He chose. He chose to be content. Doesn't the Bible say, be ye content in all circumstances? Isn't that in there? Paul says, I've learned how to be content in every circumstance. It's not something that's a gift of God, is given to some and not to others. Paul chose to be that way. He says, I know how to be hungry and I know how to sit down to a feast. He said, I know how to be free and I know how to do time. I know how to be liberated. I know how to be in chains and bonds. I'm content. Doesn't make any difference. I believe that we can choose whether we're going to have obedient children. I believe it's a choice we can make. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on, but I believe you get the point. Moses said in Deuteronomy 30, I'm going to set before you blessing and cursing. I'm going to give you the choice. Now, I command you to obey the word of God, and then you'll have the blessing. But now I'm instructing you, make a choice. A few of them made the right choice. Most of them made the wrong choice. A few of them had wonderful blessing, and a few of them had very great cursing. I believe that what will happen in our lives when we make the right choices, as Bartimaeus did, is that God's power will make it happen. God's power is released in some way through the choice of his children to believe his word. Matthew 21 and 22 says, Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, I believe that's the correct citation. It says, and whatsoever things you ask in prayer believing, you shall have them. Mark 11 and 24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you can have them. John 15 and 7, if my words abide in you and your words abide in me, ye shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you. What a magnificent promise. What a magnificent promise. You see, I've had occasions in my life, and I'll tell you how I sense this happening. I've had occasions in my life where I've had a throat problem. Let's just use that as an example, kind of a cold or a nose drip or something like that. And it'll be a Monday or a Thursday or something like that. And I won't be too concerned about that. I'm not one that's big on medication. I just don't take much medication because I believe if I can't believe God for the healing of those kinds of things, then what kind of shape am I going to be in when I'm, you know, if I come up against something that's of large magnitude? And so I just won't use anything. That's my own decision now, and I'm not putting you on that. That's my decision. I just decide that I'm going to get my medication from the Word of God and rather than from a bottle, and that's a choice now that I have made personally. I don't require my family to make that choice. That's their own choice. My wife has got a mind and a heart of her own, and she's got God's Word in her, and she makes her own choice. My son has a mind of his own and a heart of his own, and he makes his own choice, and he's not obligated to live by those principles. I can't require that, you see? But that's a choice that I've made. But I've had those kinds of things drag on and on and on. They'll just drag on for days. But when it comes Sunday morning or it comes Wednesday night, that's when I make a choice. The choice I make is, devil, you are not going to shut off the ministry of God's word. Now, that does not mean that someone else couldn't come to the pulpit and fill this pulpit and bring forth the word of God. That's not what I'm saying. But I know I've got the calling to stand here in this pulpit and to preach the word of God. And I know God's anointing is on me to do that. And I know that's my place. I'm not going to let any demon, any devil, I don't care if it's Satan himself and all of his hordes, keep me out of this pulpit. He never has and he never will. And so I may go 3-4 days, you see, and not be able to talk. But if it's time to preach the word of God, you better believe that I'm going to be in this pulpit and I'm going to preach it. And I may start scratchy, and you can't hardly understand what I'm saying. But before I get very far into the message, you're getting me loud and clear. I've listened to myself on tapes. It happened this morning. We're praising the Lord. Absolutely no notice. Absolutely no... I didn't realize that I'd lost my voice. We're all singing together, and I'm singing with you, and I'm not listening to myself. I'm just praising the Lord. When we all stopped, and I tried to say something during the fellowship time to some of the kids that were coming up here, I couldn't talk. I couldn't get any words out. I thought, oh, my Lord, what have I done? But I've had that happen before. And so what do? Well, you come to the pulpit, you open the Bible, and you begin to preach the Word. You make a choice that your voice is going to produce the ministry of the preaching of God's Word, and so it does. And so I've experienced that, you see, in my own life. And I know that you're experiencing the same thing. What I want to encourage you to do is to make a choice tonight for the promise of God that's in your life that is lacking. You say, well, Pastor, what can I choose? What promises are there? Well, I've given you a great many of them. Most of them you already know what they are. If you're not sure what they are, go back to Deuteronomy 28 and read some of those down to that. I mean, that's a good place to start. That's a good list. You'll find an excellent list in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. And make a choice to believe God. If Jesus were here tonight and he were to say to you, as he did to Bartimaeus, what do you choose that I should do unto thee? How would you answer? Would you say, well, it's okay. It's okay, Lord. It's really not I'm getting along okay. And we just kind of get along all right. We're just not really pressed on this, Lord. Or would you grab a hold of the Master with the faith that comes by making a clear-cut choice? I choose to be healed. I choose to be saved. I choose to have a new life. I choose to be set free. I choose to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. I choose to have a healing in a relationship. I choose to forgive rather than to bear a grudge. I choose to not be angry. I choose to prosper. I choose blessing rather than cursing. Would you bow your heads just a moment?